Welcome back to episode 3 of Murmurs on Merseyside. Brett and Jim are here. We're just going to give a bit of a recap on the transfer window, which closed earlier this week and saw a lot of changes at Everton. So, first of all, I'd just like to go through who left the club. There was a lot of talk during the window that Fellaini would be on his way out. What did we see on transfer deadline day?
Finally, that proposed move to Manchester United was signed off. The saga ends for all Everton supporters that we had to go through over the last couple of months. Finally, Man United met the valuation in the last couple of minutes, if you believe the press of the transfer deadline day. Merrill Arm probably helped that himself, it looks like, with handing in the transfer request, which meant that we didn't have to pay his loyalty bonus. So that's, you know, that was proposed to be around about £4 million, which is, you know, a lot of money when you're considering we don't operate with the kind of funds that Manchester United do. So I think that was a key part in getting the deal over the line. £27.5 million was the eventual sum, if you believe the press, and obviously Evidence Communication Department, which released that pretty shortly after. I took that as a win, and how fast we released it after the actual transfer went through, I thought it was evident showing it was a real win. It was like getting David Moyes' underwear and putting up the flagpole at school. It was for everyone to see. We couldn't have announced the fee quick enough, basically saying we've stood our ground. Manchester United didn't want to pay the release clause amount, which was around about £23.5 million, we believe, and we've actually held them over a barrel and got an extra £4 million, and depending on what reports you believe, maybe even saved the loyalty bonus on top of that, or whether that £4 million was part of the fee. But Alan Myers, the communication director at Everton, has since confirmed that Man United will be paying Everton Football Club £27.5 million for the transfer of Marouane Fellaini. So that makes me think that the loyalty bonus was actually then on top of that. So we've probably come out from that transfer over £30 million better off, which is a really great result considering it's a guy that's wanted to leave for a while. He's talked about it. It was the logical next step in his career. That we weren't going to be able to convince him any other way. And to get that kind of sum for a bloke that wants to go, and that we were always going to let go if they met the valuation, the fact that we got that sum of money, I thought was really good. There'll be a few disappointed Evertonians out there, but overall, I think everyone, unlike with Baines, I think with Fellaini, everyone had come to the realisation that, look, he was probably on his way. It was just a question of how much we could get from him, and I'd be very surprised if any Toffee out there thought that we haven't done well with that sum of money. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm of the same opinion. You know, we spoke about that in the previous podcast. Potentially £31.5 million in cash money that we can use somewhere else. I mean, that's a lot of money for a holding midfielder, and I just think with the young group that's coming through, I think we're only going to be better having that money. And I don't think we could have justified holding on to him at that kind of value. So $31.5 million. How much of that do you think that we'll actually see?
Yeah, that's a question, isn't it? Ken Wright, in the past, with a bit of money's gone down the back of the couch, I guess, in the Ken Wright household. You know, we're still waiting to see the Arteta money, which we never saw, which was. If for any Evertonians that are new to the club or just starting to follow, last day of the deadline, Mikel Arteta told Ken Wright and Moyes that he actually really wanted to go to Arsenal. His last chance for a big move in his career. We got £10 million, and we never saw that reinvested in the squad. It's happened a few other times with some other transfers and bits and bobs. There's talk that it's gone on other areas in the club, and the long-standing joke of it being spent on lawnmowers. But it's interesting. I think if Ken Wright really is as big a blue as he says he is and wants to see his progress. I think Roberto Martinez has got us on the right track, getting in the young talent that can take us there. So I think if we could see another 15 million or so reinvested in January and then rely on the TV money, which comes in at the end of the season for next summer, that'd be... I think every Evertonian would be happy with that. Obviously, we don't know what's been spent or anything, but we do know that there has to be some money left over from the Fellaini deal. So, if we could have up to £15 million to spend, I'd like to see what Martinez could do with that. And then the following summer, if we get around the £30 million TV money, once again, after this transfer window, I'd be really interested to see what Martinez could do with it.
All right, so the next outbound transfer that we saw from Everton was Victor Anichebe. One that kind of was a bit quiet most of the transfer window and then kind of popped its head up just before the close. I think we did touch on that in our previous podcast. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it is one that we touched on. Still, you know, whether we thought... ultimately, deep down, whether we thought it was going to happen or not, it was probably wishful thinking at the time to think that, you know, if you let a striker go with such a small squad, you were always going to get one in. So we didn't see one coming in. We wanted one. But there was, as we said on our last podcast, some rumours of Anichebe going to Hull first. Then there was some interest from West Brom later on in the piece, which made us think that his agent's obviously out there. And he obviously has been told if he wants first team football, he will be allowed to leave. The big surprise was not the fact that he went. You know, we all support Vic in his move because he was probably third in line. Depends who you ask. A lot of people thought he was probably a bit stiff to not have got a chance up until now. But the big surprise was getting £6 million for him. You know, I know he's young and he's got a lot of improvement in him if you're an optimist. But my view on it, he's never going to be an out-and-out Premier League striker, be able to lead the line for a you know, competitive Premier League club. I know he did it at times for us last year, but ultimately he was just a stopgap for us. And to get £6 million, was the really surprising thing and a really good result. And another win for the board on deadline day and holding out for a good sum of money. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm of the same opinion. I mean, you're talking about a bloke who most likely wouldn't have seen that much pitch time this year, and to get $6 million for him to spend on, you know, bringing a young player in who you can get on the pitch and develop in a different position, I mean, that's just a bonus every day of the week. I wasn't a big fan of Anichebe, and I don't think that he would have developed into a starting striker or someone that would potentially, you know, take us to Champions League football, and that's really what we're looking for. You know, you're not just going to have a great young team around it that develops, and then you've got, you know, a subpar striker as your funnel into the goal. So I think that was a great bit of business that we were able to do. I'm more than happy to see the back of old Victor. So what we'll talk about now is the inbound transfers, what we've been able to do with the Fellaini money and then Anichebe money, and already in the on the last day of transfer. So our inbound transfers were, first of all, Gareth Barry from Manchester City came in on a loan, something that we predicted in the earlier podcast. I mean, that was pretty much well known. He wanted out. We were his first choice, and that was always going to be done. There were a few complications right at the last minutes on deadline day. Gareth Barry into our midfield, what do you think?
Yeah, no brainer for me. You know, as you'll hear every positive Evertonian now preach to everyone else, FA Cup winner, he's won the league, and he's got over 50 caps for England. Now, been a really, really important player at Aston Villa and then at Manchester City. You know, true professional, and if you believe a lot of reports, a really, really good good character to have around the club. And I think that's what Roberto Martinez was really focusing on, is making sure that he's bringing in the right characters. And well, I think what he means by that is it looks like his idea is he wants to bring in this young talent and get this bring this young talent along and create a side that, you know, you don't go and pay the ridiculous transfer fees for the established stars. You bring them through yourself. You identify them when they're young and you get them in, and that's how a club like Everton can make Champions League, and that's probably the only way that we can progress. So to get the good characters around them, someone like Barry, who can come in, work with James McCarthy, work with Ross Barkley, work with John Lundstrom, show them how to be a true professional and how he's got where he has, his training standards, his professionalism in everything that he does. I think it's a really good move, and depending on, you know, I think he'll play a lot this season, but I think even if we do sign him on a free at the end of the season and he stays another couple of years, I think a lot of his role will be to develop those guys, and I just think that's a really, really good piece of business. But if you believe a few reports as well, might not have happened. There is talk that that Fernando from Porto was our first option there as that defensive midfielder. I think a lot of people thought that was the old deadline day rumour, but Roberto Martinez did confirm in his press conference that he did attend a work permit hearing for Fernando, and then it just didn't go through in the end, which is disappointing, because if you know a bit about Fernando, he's actually one of the best players in the Portuguese league, and would have been really handy. But that hasn't gone through. You get in someone like Gareth Barry, who you just plug in, he's ready to go, he knows the English game, knows his way around the pitch, and I think he can only be beneficial for us. What are your thoughts on that? I know you're a big fan of that move.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with the move. I mean, we spoke about previously that we wanted to bring in young potential players with a lot of potential behind them, and Gareth Barry kind of contradicts that, saying that we're happy with that deal. But I mean, you're bringing him in on a loan. All you have to do is just pay his wages, and then at the end of this season, you get to make up your mind whether, you know, I think we'll probably sign him on a free, and it's the kind of deal that, you know, you can keep him around as that insurance policy for as long as you want, and then as soon as he's not cracking a game anymore, you just finish him up. I mean, you got all these young players that we're starting to bring into this team and develop them. Gareth Barry's kind of that player that you can bring in and just chuck him in the midfield and kind of use him as like a plug. There is the potential with the transfers that we've done, and also changing game styles with Martinez, that it will take a while before we start winning games consistently. And bringing Gareth Barry in kind of is your insurance policy that we don't slip too far down the ladder in that process. So I think it's a good bit of business. And as you said, the younger players in the team, the midfielders, are only going to be better for it. They're all going to be able to draw experience from him. And, you know, he's been right up there at the top level. So they'll be able to pick his brain, and he'll help them develop their games. So the next inbound transfer that we saw, and I found that this transfer was kind of like a tipping point for the rest of the deals that we're about to go through. Romelu Lukaku from Chelsea, kind of making up his mind whether he wanted to go back to West Brom or if he wanted to head to Everton. And I think that kind of stalled a lot of when that card got played, which we really weren't aware of until transfer deadline day. Until that card got played, everything else kind of hit a standstill. West Brom didn't want to make any move until his decision was made, and kind of the same fell to us. I mean, when Romelu Lukaku goes up for loan and you're potentially the club that could nab him, I think everything else goes on hold until you can sort that out. So I found that once he made his decision, a few of the other cards started to fall onto the table, and then all the transfers kind of went through as we were expecting, but that kind of did hold things up a little bit and threw a bit of a spanner in the works. But I think great, absolutely fantastic signing for Everton. Absolutely stoked. We spoke about it previously in the podcast before the transfer deadline day. We're looking for that striker, that world-class striker, and someone who can be the spearhead of the team, which we're kind of lacking at the moment with Jelovic and Kone. I think the other thing that we spoke about before was that, you know, I was of the opinion that I would like to see the back of Baines for that amount of money. We were saying that the consistent crosses into the box with no one on the end of them are starting to detract away from the way that we think that we should be playing and playing a more central role and going down the corridor and a bit more direct at goal rather than taking the easy option and heading out to the flank and crossing in for no one over and over and over. And I think this has completely swayed my opinion on Baines and the team. I think you throw Romelu Lukaku up front and then have Baines crossing in. I think it's just going to widen up defences because they're going to be worried about that. They'll start trying to close down Baines, and that's going to allow the inward pass a little bit more easily, and it's just going to make us a bit more unpredictable. Defences are going to be, you know, thinking we've got to stop the cross, but then you've also got to stop the inward pass to Barkley, who can put the ball in from, you know, looks like anywhere at the moment. But yeah, just really, really stoked for that signing. I mean, we get him for a year. Who knows, we might get him for longer than that. I'll let you touch on that. But yeah, I'm absolutely stoked for that. I can't wait to see him in a blue shirt and on the pitch.
Yeah, highlight of deadline day for me. Probably the move that made us big winners from transfer deadline day. I think if it had been just Barry and McCarthy with the other four names that we'd got previously, I think people would have said, oh, yeah, okay, we've papered over the cracks of the Fellaini departure, but we haven't really pushed on or improved our first 11. I think the Lukaku deal single-handedly has made us a big, big threat for European football. Might not be Champions League, but to win a cup or to finish high enough to get that Europa League spot, I think this is a really, really, really big move for us this year. We've dominated possession. You look at the stats. We've had the most possession in the league. We've had the most shots in the league. We've kept the opposition to the least shots in the league. We're doing everything right in terms of a game plan. No matter what the naysayers say about Martinez's game plan, it's suiting the Premier League, and it's a success. We just haven't had anyone on the end of it to finish those opportunities off. Lukaku is that man. You've seen last year with his time at West Brom, he's not the finished article. He's still quite raw, but the one thing he does do is he makes defences panic. They can't deal with him physically. If they put someone on him that can stay with him for pace, he'll just batter him out the way. He's a battering ram. He's a massive man. He's 6'3" and over 200 pounds. He's lightning quick for a big man. So he really makes defences panic. You saw he can score against the big clubs, and that's the big thing. We need to be a threat against the bigger clubs and get the points off them because that's what's going to help our push. And if you look at Lukaku's record at West Brom, he scored in both games against Liverpool, which we all love to hear because if the Liverpool defence can't contain him, then that's a real win for us. Gives us a bit of optimism when we go to Anfield this year. And he scored a hat-trick against Man United. Only four or five people have done that in the history of the game. So to do that at 20 years old, or 19 as he was when he did it, is huge. I think a lot of people are just wrapped to have him for 12 months. If you take anything into Martinez's press conference yesterday morning, when asked about the Barry situation, and there's the option that if he does well, he'll earn himself a contract there because he does finish his contract and can leave on a free. The press then asked him about Lukaku and said, you know, is there an option at all for him to stay, or is that just is there no chance of that happening? He swerved, saying that there was no chance, like he has with Deulofeu. With Deulofeu, he said there's no chance of permanency, but we might be able to get him on loan for another year. With Lukaku, it was completely different. He basically just said, look, there's 9 months of football ahead. He's got to concentrate on having a good year for Everton. Hopefully he fits in, does well, the players gel with him. And then he actually stated, then at the end of the season, we sit down, we assess, and we see where we're at, meaning the club and Lukaku. And I think the one hope that we've got, and I know that we've talked about this, is that Chelsea can afford to go out and buy the best striker in the world going at any time. Well, they can at least compete for those kind of signatures. So what we really need to hope is that either a Torres or a Torres and a Bar find some form, and Torres starts hitting the back of the net a lot this season, so they can't really get rid of him. And or they one of the big strikers, a Lewandowski or a Falcao or someone of that ilk, does express an interest in going to Chelsea at the end of the year. And we, you know, Everton looks like will benefit from Chelsea signing a big name striker, because if Lukaku then gets pushed down the pecking order once again, I think the writing might be on the wall, especially if he has a good season with us and gels with the boys. We know that he is really good friends with Morales. So, you know, they've known him since he was 14. And Morales, as you've seen in the papers, did have a lot to do with the transfer. He said he didn't leave Lukaku's room. They were away on international duty, and he didn't leave his room until he was sure that he was coming to Everton. Martinez has actually called him up for 30 minutes to convince him to come. So obviously, you know, he feels wanted. He will feel wanted if he has a good season and gels with the boys. And then you never know at the end of the year if he feels like he fits in and we either win a cup or even get Europa League. He might feel that the ambition's there and he might want to stay on instead of being third choice at Chelsea. You never know. And that's, I guess, best case scenario. But at the moment, we just hope that he can continue on and have a season something like he did at West Brom for us, because we could use those 17 goals that he scored for West Brom, because that could be the difference between us having a top 10 finish and or a top 6 or top 5 finish.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope that he would score at least the same as he did at West Brom or better. I mean, we're a better outfit, simple as that. So with him as our spearhead and all that talent behind him, I think only great things can happen. Just a really, really great signing, in my opinion, and frothing to see that one roll out onto the pitch.
So just a hypothetical, while we're on the Lukaku situation, January rolls round, or even next summer, or January rolls round and we've got $15 million to spend, do we assess the situation there, see how Lukaku's tracking, see if we've got any obvious need, and then maybe bank that $15 million, and if we have an inkling that there might be a chance of him staying, just in case, and then add it to some TV money and throw a big offer that Chelsea find it hard to refuse?
Yeah, I think that's what you've got to do. I mean, you've got potentially one of our best signings or going into the future, someone that we wouldn't have been able to dream about a year or two ago. I think that's what we've got to do. You've just got to see how he takes to the team, and the biggest factors that will come into it, I think, will be Lukaku himself and Chelsea. I don't think this is going to be an Everton decision whether he stays. So you've just got to hope that he has a huge impact, gets along with the boys really well. And if he's scoring and looks like he's enjoying it, I'd say, yeah, but bank that money. And you're going to have to go hard for him to keep the big name clubs off his back and really have a fee that will turn Chelsea's head.
Yeah, I think you can always bring in those young defenders with potential, those young midfielders. You know, we've been blessed with a Barkley because he's a bit more expensive because he's that attacking midfielder that can unlock defences and score goals. But those central midfielders, those young developing wingers, those young defenders, you can bring them in for reasonable fees. But these young world-class strikers, if you've ever got a chance at someone, 20-year-old Romelu Lukaku, to be able to get him into that side, I know at the moment it's just a dream, but, you know, I think as the season goes on, it might come closer to reality. And if he can see himself where we're going, if he links up well with Ross Barkley, James McCarthy, Seamus Coleman, these young up-and-coming Everton stars, then, you know, if you can lock down someone like that, you can build a side, like we've said, you can build a side around Barkley and McCarthy as such, but you can build a side around Barkley and Lukaku, and it really wouldn't matter in 5 years who you've got around them. They would single-handedly make sure that we're at the top end of the table. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the transfer window we've had suits that kind of that situation or that scenario to play out. I think we've addressed all our weaknesses, so potentially you get to the end of the year, and if this does come up, you don't really have any major weaknesses that you have to go and try and cover in that period. You basically say, all right, our sole focus of this transfer window is to sign Lukaku on a long-term deal. I mean, we've during this transfer window, I think we've done everything that we needed to do. And also, just throwing Lukaku on top is a bonus. And I think going forward, that would be the one you really, really just got to concentrate on concreting him into the Everton lineup.
Yeah, and I think it would be really hard for someone like Jose Mourinho to, if he does bring in another striker or a couple of strikers at the end of the season, or even in January, I think it'd be really hard for him to refuse a really big offer from Everton. And I think fans would appreciate that, yeah, we might have to pay overs for a 20-year-old, but that's the only chance you've got of getting him here. You force Chelsea's hand, give him an offer they can't refuse, and if he's still second or third in line, or well, probably third in line, they're... you can't say no to $20 million for your third in-line striker. So that's, I think that's where we've got to come from and hope that Chelsea do have bigger ambitions and don't see him in their plans long-term, or don't see him eventually leading the line, or whether it's too far down the track for him. So many things can play out, and I think it's naive of some Evertonians to think that it's not a possibility. Obviously, it's not a sure thing that there'll be a buy at the end of the loan, but... you know, that's the beauty of loans. You can see how they fit in, and a lot can happen in a season. And I think the main thing is, as Martinez says, he has a good 9 months. He has a good season with us. Hopefully he can win. If we could win a cup and he can be part of that, you know, that's something that can make you love the club forever. So that's the kind of thing that you need to get, some success, him to have some personal success, him to fit into the game plan. And then I guess you never know. You can hopefully tempt Chelsea and tempt the big fella.
All right, so the next one I've got on my list is obviously James McCarthy. Came in from Wigan. Recommended by the man himself, Roberto Martinez, has worked with him in the past and is huge raps for the kid. Personally, I haven't seen a lot of him playing, but, I mean, I've heard some of the things that have been said about him from, you know, Martinez, who is our... manager, and we have to trust in his opinion. He would know better than anyone how this kid's travelling, and some of the other comments that have been said in the media about him. So if he lives up to half the potential that they're talking about, he could be anything, and I'm really happy with that signing. I mean, he's young, as we spoke about, and he's one that everyone's heralded as the next, you know, big thing in English football. What were your thoughts on that transfer?
Yeah, really happy. I think, well, it was more that you couldn't get too excited just because you felt at the time that, you know, it probably meant that Fellaini was going, so you had to temper your excitement a little bit. But now that it's done and Fellaini's gone, I think a lot of Evertonians can actually now say, righto, don't worry about the fact that he's the replacement for Fellaini or that we've used some Fellaini money to get him. Judge him on his performance, and I think it won't take long for... a lot of Everton fans to realise why we've let Fellaini go and why we've brought this kid in. Suits Martin's game plan down to a T, and a lot of Evertonians been complaining about the tempo of our play and that we're not getting it up to the forwards quick enough, we're not moving the ball quick enough. That's the one thing that he does. He's the metronome in the midfield. Another thing he doesn't get a lot of credit for, people see him as, you know, that he controls the centre of the park, but a lot of people don't realise that he actually does have a creative side to his game. He can pick a pass. That part is developing, but that'll only get better. He has put in some world-class long through balls and long passes that, you know, you have to see to believe it, I guess. He's 22, which is the other thing. Like, he's been around for a long time now. He's a veteran in terms of Premier League games played at 22. Still so much development ahead of him, and I think Martinez sees that, and I think that's why he was just all too happy to pay the fee. There's some people that said it's overinflated, but, you know, when you look at it, you no matter which way he goes from here, you could think that you would have to think that in 3 years, no matter where he's sitting, he would be valued above what the fee we've paid for. So that's all that counts at the minute, is that at least if you ever had to sell him on and he didn't come on, he'd still go for that kind of fee. So, but he does have the potential to be worth around $40 million. But we don't need to talk about valuations, because the way that I see the club is that as long as Martinez is here, McCarthy will be in the centre of his midfield. yeah, really big rap for him he is, and he has been quoted as saying he's the one young midfielder in the Premiership that he thinks eventually could play for a club like Barcelona and could fit into their system and not look out of place. So that's a huge rap from someone like Martinez, who a lot of people respect his opinion and his knowledge on the game. I've seen McCarthy play a little bit, more than some other people, in that I'm a bit of a Premier League tragic and do watch a fair few games, but you know, he killed us last year in the FA Cup game. He basically killed us every time he's played us. He's really shown us to be lacking in central midfield. Now, a lot of people say that's more down to us lacking in central midfield more than his ability, but he's done it against the big clubs. He's done it against the Man Uniteds. He's done it against the Liverpools and the Arsenals. So I think it's a really, really good signing to be excited about in a position that we really needed it. And now we've got Barkley and McCarthy teaming up for the next 10 years, where you don't have to worry about midfield all that much. And that's a really good problem to have.
So how much do we pay for McCarthy?
So there's talk that it was about £13 million. Depending on who you believe, whether that's worth it or not. But I think a lot of people will be settled after a few games when they see the potential that this kid has at 22. I'm more than happy to pay that fee, considering how highly Martinez rates him. And you just have to trust the boss, and he was quite happy to let Fellaini go for that big fee and bring McCarthy in, who suits his game plan a lot better. So I think we'll be better for the transfer, and I think we'll be better for the fact that we've got the money left over to spend.
Yeah, I think long term we'll be better for this deal. I mean, we did let go of Fellaini, and I think bringing McCarthy in as a direct replacement might take you back a few steps, but he is only 22, and from all reports, the kid just oozes class, and he does have that potential that you think he could grow into. And I mean, that's limited by the kid himself and also the development of the squad around him. Whereas I feel that Fellaini, although he did start to move into a more attacking role last year and score more goals, I don't think that there was anywhere. I couldn't see him developing into a better player than what he is now. I mean, he does what he does well now, and it comes a lot down to his physical attributes. Whereas McCarthy's just gonna develop in all different kinds of areas, like his skill level, his fitness, his pace, his reading of the play, his vision. I think that's the difference. That you kind of you're investing in McCarthy, whereas you were kind of just holding on to Fellaini to stop. You know,
yeah, I think I agree with you there. I think if you look at Fellaini, who's what, 25, I think, if I'm right, and McCarthy's 22. McCarthy's got 3 years more of Premier League experience with a club like Everton. He's only going to get smarter. He's only going to learn, you know, a few more tricks and things like that. And especially having someone like Gareth Barry there as well, who can share whatever he's learned over the course. And I think if you look at that, if you compare them both at 25, I think we'll be sitting here saying that it's a bit of a no contest. I think that McCarthy offers so much more, in that he's got that defensive side and that hard work rate, that high work rate, and, you know, the fact that he can tackle, the fact that he's got that tank that can get around the pitch, and he's constantly moving. But the thing that he will get that I don't know if Fellaini will ever develop, and whether he'll need to, because it's not really his game, is that McCarthy will be able to play that deep-lying playmaker role, where he can actually win the ball at the back of midfield and actually put through a ball and turn defence into attack quite quickly, instead of a Fellaini who can win the ball better than most and can keep the ball, but he generally has to give it off to someone else to put through that final ball or that killer ball. And I think that McCarthy's got that in his repertoire. It's just about experience and about when to go for it, and obviously refine those skills to make sure that when he does go for it, he hits it more often than not.
All right, so that pretty much rounds up all the business that was done on deadline day itself. I mean, we did have to wait very late in the piece, and I mean, I was sitting in my car listening to the feed before I went into work, and I did have to turn the radio off to go into work, so I kind of missed the last couple of minutes. And I mean, the feed that I was listening to kind of shut up shop without having any confirmation from any of the evident transfers. So we were a little bit in the dark, but I was happy to hear later on in the day that all those transfers had gone through. And I mean, I was delighted to see the guys that went out versus the guys that came in. And I think it was great business done by Ken Wright. So the next part I'd like to go is just touch on some of the other transfers that we've seen come in through the whole window. A lot of Evertonians will know these as the business was done fairly early on, but we'll just touch on each of them very quickly and just give a bit of an opinion of whether it's a good or bad deal and how much they come in for. So the first one that I've got here is Joel Robles from Wigan. Came in for how much?
Yeah, so the talk is around £1.5 million. So that's what they're saying was the fee, but there is some talk that it was £3.5 million. I think 1.5, the fact that his contract was nearly run out at Atletico Madrid, I think that one sounds a little bit more realistic. Also, I think it's a great deal. I think, you know, Mukka said that he, you know, basically, his agent had said that he wouldn't be there, he wouldn't be signing a new contract, he was looking for other opportunities, and therefore we needed a backup goalkeeper. I think Martinez went down the right road in getting someone in young, but had experience in the Premier League, so, you know, was young, but also was experienced enough to call on if needed. But the main important thing was the fact that we needed a successor to Howard, and I think we have someone with the potential to be that. Whether he is ultimately, it's yet to be seen. I guess you'd love to be able to see the future, but to bring in a 23-year-old that's won an FA Cup in goal, Spanish under-21 international, really highly rated, you know, before he came to Wigan. I think it's a great deal, and I'm really, really excited to see what he can become, and if he can eventually be our first choice goalkeeper, because it really, really covers us for the next 10 years, and we don't have to spend any money on replacing Tim Howard. It'll be more just finding then another replacement for Robles down the line. So, really happy with that business. Your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think it's something that we just needed to do. It was a requirement rather than something that we kind of thought that we would like to do. I think that he probably's not going to get a lot of game time this year, and that's the only thing. I mean, we're not going to see a lot of this kid. That's what I'm worried about. But if he could start to push Howard out, I mean, this year, towards the end of the year, or even next year, I think that'd just be fantastic. It's something that I'd really like to see. I mean, we all love Howard. He's a fantastic player, and been at Everton and loyal to the club for a long time, but his day is coming, and you would like to think that if this kid is any good, he'll start to push him out sooner than later.
Yeah, and I think like you said, we won't see a lot of him in the league, but we have seen that Martinez is happy to play him in the cup games and give him game time. Martinez does trust him to be that, being goals. He I guess became number one for Wigan by the end of last year. I think the main point to take out of it was, you know, fans might be saying, oh, we could have got better, we could have got better. The important thing is that Martinez, instead of going out and getting another, like Moyes does, go out and get another 30-year-old experienced goalkeeper to be backup. He's gone and got someone who's young with potential and the potential to be the number one. Jan Mukka never had the potential to be our number one. Moyes would go out and get a backup that would probably not fail him if he had to come in, but he never had the potential to push Howard. Whereas that's the good thing with Robles, is as he improves and as he gets more game time and develops, he could start to push Howard, and that's what you really need.
So the next one we've got is Gerard Duellafeu from Barcelona. I mean, personally for me, I'm absolutely stoked with this one. It's right up there with the Lukaku deal. I think this kid could be anything. From the early glimpses that we've had, he looks very promising. I don't think it's all talk. I mean, but I'm just worried about how much time they give him compared to, you know, guys who belong to Everton rather than put your time into this Barcelona youngster. I mean, very exciting package, and I just can't wait to see him more often.
Yeah, I guess it's been a while now since he signed, so if he was like part of the furniture, but when it went through, really, really exciting move. Actually got Everton trending on Twitter and for world football. It made people stand up and take notice. I think it was a real win for Martinez as a manager that Barcelona trusted him over all the other clubs that were gunning for De La Feu for that year on loan. Real vote of confidence in him and his philosophy. And the thing that we can take out of this is, yes, all right, he might not sign permanent, but there is that option that maybe he stays another year if it works out well. But the real thing we can take out of this is if Martinez can strike up that relationship with Barcelona, they've had a lot of youngsters that they've let go that have come good, and if we can have a couple of those along the years and get a couple on loan that they don't want back, then... You know, we could have a couple of decent permanent signings in the next 10 years to complement what we've already got. And I think striking up that relationship will be the big important thing if we can get another few players over the next few years. If the De La Feu situation works out, then that's just a win for Everton and another thing that increases our brand worldwide. In terms of his form, you know, he hasn't done a lot to date, but he's done probably more than we expected, if that makes sense. You know, he played in the cup game versus Stevenage and to score and that really, really classy goal and really important goal to equalise, you know, shows that he is ready to step in when he needs to. And I think the thing that I liked about him, and, you know, you'd probably be divided on this, but the fact that when he came on as a substitute against Cardiff is that he was direct. He sensed the urgencies that we needed a goal. He only had 5 minutes, and he was at least having a shot and at least working the goalkeeper. And I think that's something that he does do. He does play to create chances or to have shots. He's not afraid to back himself, and that's a big thing. And that's the thing that I've taken out of the McCarthy deal as well, is when he was questioned on his fee, these kids have got confidence that we're bringing in. He said, you know, the fee's the fee, but I've got confidence in my ability, and I think I can live up to that. And I think that's important. If you're going to bring in these highly rated young kids, they need to have the confidence. Otherwise, they're just not going to develop as quickly.
Yeah, I totally agree with the part where, I mean, I'm 50% stoked that we get to have De La Feu on the team, but the other 50% of my stokedness is that we actually got a youngster from Barcelona to Everton. Ugh, with Moyes, that would never, ever, ever have happened. So it's kind of, you know, that Martinez pull, he obviously does, you know, is favoured by Barcelona or people at Barcelona, and they trust him to give their youth to a side like Everton, who in the past wouldn't have been spoken about Barcelona in the same sentence. So I was absolutely stoked for that part of it. I mean, it's just another reason why I'm starting to just fall in love with this Roberto Martinez guy.
And that's the other thing. That's huge. To be able to attract players is, I guess, you've heard reports of we were close to this player, we were close to that player in the past with Moyes, and you wonder how much of that was down to when he actually met with them, the football that he actually asked them to play, and these attacking players that he was, you know, I guess, restricted by their defensive responsibilities. Now, Martinez isn't saying they don't have responsibilities, but his game plan seems to attract the talent, the young talent, and these world-class or potential world-class players. A quote from Romelu Lukaku is he was really excited to join up with Everton because they play beautiful football. Now, we wouldn't have heard that since the 1980s when we were winning the league. And, you know, we had... The School of Science was developed, and we were playing, or was spoke about, and we were playing that kind of football. I think it's a throwback to that when you can hear those kind of quotes. I think it shows the level that Martinez is held, or the regard that he's held in throughout the the world. And Barry touched on it as well. He said, you know, he's really encouraged by the game plan, and that was why, out of all the clubs that he could have gone to on loan, he wanted to go to Everton. He thought that they play a progressive brand of football, and that, you know, they're going in the right direction, and we can push on with this brand of football. So I think, yeah, definite win for Roberto Martinez there. And yeah, like you said, it's hard not to like him and not to trust the direction he's going with all the good things that seem to be happening at the club.
All right, so next one I've got is Areona Kone. Signed fairly on in the piece as well. That was kind of one of Martinez's early big deals. Something that we were pretty excited about at the time. What did you think of that one?
Yeah, so Areona Kone, the fee, you know, you're going to have to pay a fee for a striker that's even part successful. You know, you're not going to get him for 1 or 2 million unless you're really lucky, like a Mitchell last year, which is just crazy. But the Anichebe deal shows you, if you can get £6 million for Anichebe, then £5 million for Kone, who scored 13 Premier League goals in his first season in the Premier League last season. I think it was just a really good bit of business. Now, to be our number one striker, you know, left a lot to be desired. But now, the fact that you've got Lukaku there as well, and Kone's just an option, well, it's just a great option to have off the bench or to start with Lukaku having coming off the bench, or even when we're going for games to play them both together. They both have really good assets of pace, strength. They're powerful. They make defences panic. They'll force defences to make mistakes. And I think we can't judge Kone until he's given a proper run out a couple of games in a row starting. You know, Martinez has been loyal to the blokes that have been there and started the Osmonds and the Jaloviches and given them their chances. And I think now that he's given them their chances and we haven't really performed as well as we'd like, I think now he has that ability to be able to make a few decisions and start Kone, which I think he will against Chelsea this weekend, being that Lukaku can't play against his parent club. I think Kone will start, and I also think you'll see one, if not both, of the central midfielders that we got coming in. So, yeah, Kone, I think he copped some criticism against Stevenage, but the encouraging thing that I found is he was in the right places. Yes, he might have missed a couple, but the fact that he's getting the chances and he's part of the game and he's actually involved and he hasn't gone missing, I think that's the biggest thing with Everton strikers in the past, is that when they are not going so well, it's the fact that they just don't even look like they're out there. It's like you're playing with 10 men. So the fact that he's at least busy and trying to score, it's eventually going to turn around for him. I think he's an upgrade on Anichebe and an upgrade on Jelovic. So for a second choice striker, good bit of business.
Yeah, I thought at the time it was a good deal. As I said earlier, I'm not a big fan of Anichebe, and I just didn't think we were going to go anywhere with him. So to bring in Kone is kind of to play second fiddle to Jelovic and maybe even dethrone Jelovic, depending on how his form went. I mean, obviously had a poor year last year, but was amazing the year before. I thought that was a bonus. With the Lukaku deal going through now, I mean, I'm not overly fussed on Kone or Jelovic. I mean, I can't see either of them starting before Lukaku. So I think the bonus with that now is that you've got two very, very similar, well, not similar strikers, but on the same kind of level. And I think that if we still had Jelovic and Anichebe, then Anichebe was never going to get a look in again. And Jelovic is our, you know, is the guy who comes on in the 60th minute or late in games and doesn't really have any direct competition for that position. And also starting in cup games and things like that when Lukaku was rested. But I think now that you've got Kone, it really pushes Kone and Jelovic for that second position. And when they come on, they've got to do damage quickly or else they're just going to be sitting on the bench or be left out of the squad totally. So,
yeah, good point.
I think that's where the scenario is now. So early on was pretty happy. Now, you know, it's a bit of a moot point. I think he can contend with Jelovic for the second spot. So the next one that I've got is someone that we haven't seen yet, who was signed from Wigan by Martinez on a free, I believe, Antolin Alcaraz. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, good signing. Captain Wigan last year, had a really, really good World Cup in the last World Cup for Paraguay. Was a big reason for them having a successful World Cup. A lot of clubs went for him at the time. Wigan were lucky enough to sign him. It was a big, big deal at the time that they had convinced him to go there. Martinez was really happy with it. Then he's had some injury troubles. But when he did play last year and captained them, he played in the FA Cup final against Man City, played really, really well. Martinez is quoted last year saying that if he was fit, they would have stayed up. So that just shows that he rates him quite highly. And he thought he's the reason for a few of those bad performances where they leaked a lot of goals. So the fact that, yeah, if you can get him fit, he's a really good backup. I think he got him in thinking that Huizinga might move on. The offers mustn't have come for Huizinga. We haven't been able to move him on. If anything, it just strengthens us. If Jagielka or Distin get injured or need a rest, you can play Alcaraz and Huizinga in a cup game and, you know, not be worried. The fact that they've been there a number of times, they've got the experience, and Alcaraz is, yeah, now an FA Cup winner and, yeah, a really good player. And I think he probably suffers from the fact that he was part of the Wigan side that went down. Taking away the fact that he played for Wigan, he actually, in his own right, he's a good player. So to get a 30-year-old on a free, a couple of years left while the guys like Stones are developing, I think a good bit of business on a free, you can't really fault it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's come in for nothing. He's cost us nothing. We're paying him wages. He's that backup that, God forbid, something did happen to Jagielka or Distin. And also, I think what the main part of his transfer and the biggest bonus for us is it keeps Johnny Huizinga out of the centre-back role. I mean, there was the potential that Huizinga would leave during the transfer window, but that hasn't seemed to come to fruition. So you really need to have someone to step into his kind of place if one of our starting two go down. And I, on Huizinga, I think I'd like to see him, you know, be used this year in kind of a holding midfielder role. I think he does play that role. He can play. Like, let's be honest. I mean, he's just prone to those fatal mistakes on that back line, and it's something that I would say that all Evertonians would be nervous every time he starts in that lineup. So I think that was the main point for his transfer, and you can't really fault it. All right, so that's pretty much a sum up of the transfer window for Everton. I think pretty good transfer window, and I know that people have come out in the media and you know, kind of said that we've had even Vincent Kompany, I think, even came out earlier in the week and kind of said that Everton were the one to watch. We've had a great transfer window, so I'm of the same opinion. I think we've done great business. We've seen a couple of players go, and Aniche being Fellaini, but we've got both of those players we've got fees for, considerable fees, and the guys we've brought in, the long list, have pretty much addressed all our potential problems and holes in the squad. And there's not really anyone in particular that I could point out that I'm unhappy about. I think everyone that's gone, I'm happy with. Everyone that's come in, also.
I think, the important thing is, I think that we're all ignoring is, yes, we've strengthened the starting 11, which is really good. It's a bonus, but it looks like Martinez's idea was to get bodies in the squad because he feels that to have a good cup run and be strong in the league, you need to have options, and that's what he's definitely brought, is that there is a lot of competition in the squad and a lot more than there was last year. It's a lot harder to pick. It depends who you talk to now when you're picking our first 11, whereas last year under Moyes, everyone knew what our first 11 was and no one disputed it.
Yeah, and the problem we had last year is that first 11 didn't really change. The same guys that were playing every game at the start of the year were playing every game at the end of the year. So, I mean, it is a very, very long season. There's, you know, 30, 30-odd games?
39 in the league, and then plus cup and...
I mean, that's a huge amount of football to be playing. And if you don't have any rotation, which we didn't really have last year, then no wonder that you can't sustain that that kind of performance through the whole year. So I think, yeah, he's done exactly what we needed to do, just bulked up that squad and brought in some key players, and I don't think that you could fault that. That transfer window.
And if you believe reports, profited as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the best is still to come. We've put money in the bank. So January time could be exciting, and also the end of the year. I mean, I think we're only going to be better with this transfer window, and it's one, I mean, we've been waiting and waiting for a transfer window like this for years, and then finally to get one, it's just been great. I've loved keeping up with all the headlines through the whole period. It's just been fantastic.
Yeah, and I guess an hour before it, every Evertonian was fuming because it looked like we were going to lose Fellaini and get no one in, and, you know, it was looking like the worst possible situation. And then all of a sudden, with 5 minutes to go, or it was even probably 15 minutes to go, when there was talk of Barry being at Goodison, and then McCarthy deal going through, and then in the final 5 minutes or even after it had officially closed, we got confirmation of Lukaku, and all of a sudden turned from the worst possible window into a really, really good window. And that was something to get excited about. And even I think profiting or even coming out even was really important for a club like Everton, because it allows us to, if they do want to position themselves to use all the TV money at the end of the year that we get, I think it's important to not be any further in debt. And I think with the fact that we've got the money, whether we use it in January or not, I think you can basically be sure, and I think they'll be held accountable for this, the board, is that we'll be using 90% to 100% of that TV money to reinvest in the squad. And that's the really exciting thing, because if you believe reports, and if we do finish around the same position we finish around 6th or 7th, it'll be, you know, an extra 30 million on top of that, which could be reinvested in the squad.
Yeah, all right. So we'll just go through the squad before and after. So the outbound, we'll take these guys out first, kind of explain what their replacements will be, and then kind of put a potential squad together of the next game, everyone included, no one unavailable. So the big one, the big out, is obviously Marouane Fellaini, leaves a big hole in central midfield. Anichebe, he's gone, but I don't think you lose much. Like, that's a place on the bench that, or potentially not even on the bench. I mean, so he, that's just a moot point. So we lose Fellaini. In will come Barry. You think he'll be in the starting lineup?
I think he'll definitely be in the squad. Obviously, we won't talk about it as if the next game being Chelsea and being out, but talk about it more as, let's look at it as an overall, our best 11. Then, I think Barry has a part to play. I think at times it'll be Barry, at times it'll be Gibson, depending on what kind of game we're playing. I think when we play the bigger sides that are going to play football and attack us, I think Barry will play. And I think when we play the lower sides that welcome us onto them, and we need maybe two ball-playing centre midfielders, I think you might see Gibson and McCarthy maybe link up. But that's a good problem to have. We've got three really good options, and we haven't even discussed Osman there. So it'd be really, really good.
All right, so the next one's Lukaku. Personally, I think he'll be definitely now starting 11.
Yeah, I think he came on a lot as a substitute for West Brom, but I think he's proven once they started to start him, and with the goals that he got, that, and with the lack of goals that we're getting, is that Martinez will start him. My biggest fear at the moment is that he waits too many games and tries to do the right thing by betting him in and waiting for him to settle. I just think you need to plug him in and let him go and take the good with the bad. And if he doesn't link up right away, he only needs a couple of chances and can score a couple of goals. So I really, really hope that Martinez just backs him from the start. And all right, he might come on in his first game as a sub, but after that I'd expect him to be starting every time he can when fit.
All right, so the next one we've got is James McCarthy. Do you think he'll be in the starting 11?
We'll start. For me, in my opinion, you don't pay £13 million for a bloke that you're not going to start. Mm-hmm. I know it is one for future investment, but if Martinez's opinion on him and you've seen Martinez's approach to youth, he's not afraid to give him the chance, so that won't hold him back. With Martinez's opinion on him and the way he rates him and the way that he can play the game style and I guess fit in straight away. Also the way that he can get us playing a lot quicker. He's going to be a real benefit for the squad. So yeah, he's a no brainer. I think he'll be in the starting 11 for years to come.
Yeah, definitely. I think, he's probably our most exciting prospect that will come out of the transfer. Obviously Lukaku isn't, on a long-term deal. So we've really got to, and again, you don't pay that kind of money for someone who's going to sit on the bench. So obviously, he will be the focal point of our midfield. So the next one is Joel Robles. I think we all know what the plan is for him. Obviously, yeah, he'll back up Howard until, you know, he does get a run and maybe Martinez starts to swing towards him. But I really can't see that happening this season.
No, I agree. That's something in the future and more that, yeah, he can play a few cup games. And if Howard does get injured, he's more than equipped to come in, and then you never know. It only takes an extended run in the first team that he might not get displaced. But as you say, I can't see that happening this season.
Yep. So the next one I've got is Jared Delahoyle. I hope that he starts, but the hard part is now, which is a great position to be in, is that you struggle to find a spot for him.
Yeah. You've got Pina, who, I think he was the one that a lot of people were calling for to be replaced, but if you look at the first three games this season, he's been one of our most productive, and he's probably been more productive than Morales, which is saying something when we all thought Morales was just going to step it up this season. Still have no doubt that Morales will find his touch, and I think scoring for Belgium overnight will help that, just get his confidence up, and the fact that he's got Lukaku there now as well. I think they might link up quite well. But the big thing is with Delafeu is who does he replace? I think by the end of the year, I honestly do think that he'll be starting. I think that it'll just be a gradual thing until Martinez is really confident to play him from the outset. But at the moment, I think he'll be one that comes on in the second half of games to give us a burst and to give us that goal. I think he's a few weeks away from starting at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardiff game in particular started to sway me more towards Pina. I thought he was fantastic, and Morales was fairly ordinary, in my opinion. So that's the reason why I find it hard to find a place for Delafeu. It just really depends on which players come out to play that day. I mean, we could easily see the next game where Morales gets back to his form and, you know, has a fantastic game, yeah, puts a few in or assists, and Pienaar goes quiet, but I think Martinez has to bring this kid on early. If you're going to bring him on as a sub, don't wait until the 85th minute.
Yeah,
I mean,
let
the kid have his chance. He was the only one against Cardiff that looked like he was going to do something, but it was just so there was no time left in the game. So hopefully he can find his way into the team, but if he doesn't, I don't think that it will be. Because we're not giving him a chance, or we're favouring someone over the top of him.
Yeah.
Next one's Aruna Kone. We've already touched on that pretty much. I think it's fairly obvious where he's going to stand now with the Lukaku loan deal going through. Pretty much battling Jalovic for the second place, and we'll probably start cup games if he can get to the preferred standpoint as a striker over Jalovic, but. Yeah, I can't see him being in it. I don't think that he'll be in our best 21, our best 11 this season.
No. I wouldn't have thought so either. I think best case scenario for him is when we need a goal late on to come on and partner Lukaku late in games, which, you know, that if they both get into a bit of form, that could be exciting to watch. But,
Yeah, that's the other potential that we... You know, maybe we're not hell-bent on playing one striker. We'll leave that up to the boss, and maybe we'll see two of them rolled out in the same game. So that'll be, it just gives us more flexibility and unpredictability to the opposition. Next one's obviously Antalin Alcaraz. Personally, I don't think that he would unseat Distan or Jagielka, but again, probably just brought in for a bit of backup.
Yeah, and I think what he will be, he'll be first backup. You know, Martin has shown he wants to play John Stones, but I think once Alcaraz is fit, I think you'll find that Alcaraz will be first backup for Distan or Jagielka. And I think you might see him in place of Distan a couple of times, not on Distan's ability, more on the fact that Distan's 35, and if he's even got a niggle or something like that, Martinez will have the confidence to be able to play Alcaraz above him, whereas Moyes had limited options in the form that Huizenga was in. He probably would have made Distan play even if injured, just as long as he didn't have to play Huizenga in the end.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. I'll just get you to try and, in your mind, just try and sum up what you think our best starting 11 will be this season.
Yeah, so I think, we've touched on a little bit. I think our best starting 11, you know, you have to, I guess, think with your head and not with your heart, because there's a few players that we'd like to see playing, but in all seriousness, I think it should be Tim Howie in goals, Seamus Coleman on the right, Jagielka, Distan, and Baines on the left. Then the central, or the two holding midfielders, or the holding midfielder, and then the other central midfielder would be Barry and McCarthy. Gibson could easily displace Barry. Judging on form and the fact that Barry's 32, they might give him a rest every couple of weeks. But, you know, I think Gibson's shot himself in the foot by being so injury-prone. I think that spot was his to lose, and the fact that he's constantly injured means you can't really rely on him. But I do think he'll still have a big part to play. On the left, Stevie P, at the moment in the form he's in, just can't find a reason to displace him just yet. And Morales on the right, I think we've just got to stick with him because he can change a game in the space of 5 minutes. He does have that brilliance that we probably don't have in a lot of other areas, and his link up with Coleman is quite vital. If they try and put extra time into Coleman, then it lets Morales off the leash, or if they try and put extra time into Morales like they have early in the season, we've seen Coleman's form go through the roof. So I think that's really good, having two threats on that side. I think Barkley picks himself. His form just keeps getting better and better. It's really hard to believe. He's 19 years of age. He's already now started for England, got a full cap got his debut for England coming off the bench overnight in the 59th minute. And from all reports, handled himself really, really well and was unlucky not to score, putting one just wide. Yeah, this kid's just going from strength to strength, and he's putting a smile on a lot of our faces at the moment as Everton fans. And, I don't see any reason why he won't be in the World Cup squad when you look at this time next year. I think that's really exciting. So I think, he picks himself as a centre-attacking mid role, but the thing it does do is now with the central midfield options is Osman, if Barkley ever does need a rest, being the young kid and things like that, Osman now is an option at centre attacking mid only, I would hope. And then, of course, up front, you can't go past the big Belgian in Romelu Lukaku. I'm really, really excited about this one, and really excited about the season now to have someone like that up front. Because you just know that if he's not scoring, you'll be able to see defenders finding it hard to deal with him. And if they put extra time into him, then other blokes get off the chain. And that's what I'm really excited to see. One way or the other, I think he's going to have a huge impact at Everton. And he's probably, the thing that I'm most excited about for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think you pretty much nailed it there. Agree with all those points. So I think we just might wrap up this podcast. I'll get you to say goodbye to the kind people.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And yeah, I'm really encouraged by the following we've got so far, guys. You know, we want to keep doing it. So, you know, if you guys keep listening, it gives us a purpose. And yeah, if you want to give us some feedback, you know, the Twitter handle, Murmurs on Merseyside.
That's at Murmurs on Mersey.
Murmurs on Mersey.
On Twitter. So hit that up. Follow us. And also, we are now on iTunes. So if you've got an iPhone or iPad or something like that, get the podcast app, head to our iTunes page, which I'll put up on the Twitter, and subscribe. So you'll have all the podcasts going straight to your phone or iPod or iPad. And all you got to do is just listen or download whenever we release one. We'll keep you updated on Twitter. We also have a Facebook page, so check that out. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, guys. See you later.